streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Matt Piper. Millions are under severe weather threats tonight with the risk of tornadoes, including places that just saw some over the weekend. CBS News meteorologist David Parkinson with who needs to be on the lookout.
Anywhere from Memphis all the way to Nashville, we've already had reports of several tornadoes, and two of them were confirmed by weather spotters. So we know that we've had tornadoes on the ground, and we expect that threat through at least 8 p.m. Central tonight. And we could see in eastern Tennessee a threat as late as 9, 10, or 11 p.m.
At least 29 people died from storms this past weekend. In New Orleans, police have arrested a jail maintenance worker in connection with the escape of 10 inmates. A fifth has just been caught tonight. CBS's Katie Weiss.
Authorities say that 33-year-old Sterling Williams helped the inmates make their daring escape by turning off the water supply to the facility so that way the inmates could more easily remove the toilet from the wall without getting drenched in water while they were doing so. Williams is actually charged with principal to simple escape and also malfeasance in office.
CBS News has learned the Navy is disciplining at least two members of SEAL Team 4 after racist memes, including one depicting slavery, were shared in a signal chat to a black fellow SEAL. President Trump was on Capitol Hill today. As our Nicole Killian reports, he's trying to push GOP holdouts in a last-ditch effort to support his massive domestic policy bill.
Potentially, the speaker and GOP leadership could put this bill on the floor at some point tomorrow, Wednesday, which would be even ahead of the speaker's projected goal. You know, we'd heard a vote was possible on Thursday. Certainly, the goal has always been to do this by Memorial Day.
A large Canadian study links ultra-processed foods to serious health risks.
Health experts have been warning people about the dangers of highly processed foods, including frozen pizza, sugar-laden breakfast cereals, and chips. But now a study of more than 6,000 Canadians finds a clear connection between such foods and higher blood pressure, larger waistlines, and unhealthy cholesterol levels. It found that those who consume ultra-processed foods were more likely to be male, have lower income levels, less education, and to have reported lower fruit and vegetable intake. Such foods are heavily marketed and appeal to consumers who are pressed for time. Allison Keyes, CBS News.
The Justice Department has opened an investigation into former New York Governor Andrew Cuomo. It's over his testimony to Congress during the pandemic. It comes months after the DOJ dropped charges against current New York City Mayor Eric Adams, who was running against Cuomo in this year's mayoral election. Cuomo calls it election interference. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
The Brewers with another win. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, for the first time in 2 weeks, the Brewers with back-to-back wins. They beat the Orioles last night 5-4. William Contreras said he thought he just had an okay game, going 4-for-4, including the winning RBI. Pat Murphy.
William has very high expectations. No, he wasn't just good. He was great.
Game two of the series tonight. NFL, the Packers signed Matthew Golden to a four-year, $17.5 million contract guaranteed. Golden says he can now afford to buy back his grandmother's house in Texas, foreclosed a few years ago.
That's the house I grew up in when I was younger. You know, it got taken away from us a couple of years ago. You know, just knowing that I'm in a position to be able to get that back for all my family. Now, that's something my grandma always wanted. Before my great-grandma died, you know, she always wanted one of her grandsons to make it to the NFL. You know, I'm the last one standing in, and I made it.
That's Packers rookie receiver Matthew Golden with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloudy sky tonight, areas of rain and lows falling down to the low 40s. For tomorrow, more clouds, showers gradually diminishing but staying breezy, high mid-50s. Sunshine returns for Thursday and Friday, and warmer, highs low 60s. Currently, it's 44 degrees.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Wednesday, we start a new round of interviews with candidates for state Democratic Party chair with Devin Remicker, Joseph Pecky on Thursday, William Garcia on Friday.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Professor Howard Schwaber.
The point is worth making that an individual government official with the power to unilaterally declare that people can be seized without any opportunity of a hearing of any kind is getting really close to the model of rule that the American constitutional system is entirely designed to resist.
Entirely designed to resist. Antithetical to our foundational principles.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I used to smoke. I thought of cigarettes as my best friend.
They were always there for me when I needed a break.
I also thought cigarettes were my best friend, and then they gave me peripheral artery disease.
I smoked and had a stroke. Actually, multiple strokes.
I smoked and have heart disease.
Here's my tip. If cigarettes are your friend, you need a better friend.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the CDC.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff, coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We have a really busy show coming up for you today. He is a trooper, man. Pat Kreitlow, just back in the country yesterday.
Dude, I'd take a day off if I had traveled to, like, Chicago. Dude texted me last night, get back from Europe. I'm like, I'm back. Let's do this tomorrow. I'm like, what?
And then he did his morning show, and Pat Kreitlow's going to join us after 9:30. We're going to bring him up to date on some things he might have missed.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Just
a couple of things. Derek Van Orden essentially saying, we don't need spring elections.
No.
What do we need those for? We don't get enough turnout on the Republican side. Let's just end it.
Enjoy the weather. Don't worry about voting, people.
Yeah, please. Just enjoy spring. So we'll talk to Pat Kreitlow after the 9:30 news. In hour number two, Missy Hughes will be here. She is the secretary at the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation. Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk about tariffs.
Yes. She just did a 9-day economic trip to Europe with Governor Evers. They wrote an op-ed piece as well on these topics of the tariffs and how they affect Wisconsin businesses, especially small businesses.
Yes.
Here, which, as we know, the backbone of America.
That's right. They certainly are. And then, of course, the last half an hour of the show, we try and lighten things up a little bit. So Beth Heidorn from the Racine Zoo is going to stop in. They have a new arrival.
Ooh.
Yes, a little stripey one. And I think that there's a naming contest, so we're going to talk about the Racine Zoo's new arrival and all the things you can do this summer at the great, it's a really sweet little zoo.
It's a great way to spend, like, you know, you can do a half a day, if you can do a full day there, but it's not one of those zoos where you're walking like, oh my gosh, where do I start?
Yeah.
It's
compact.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's really cute. And then we'll wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the Hold the Onions edition. If you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. JaneSays, Jane Says at civicmedia.us. Use the same email if you have a guest suggestion. If you have a suggestion for someone we should feature on Beyond the Cheese,
yes,
which is a once a month feature that we do where we celebrate businesses outside of the dairy industry.
Tisbat.
We always love to get your Tisbats. We try to keep politics out of our Tisbats only because if we did political ones, we would do that every day.
And that would just make us go insane.
Well, and it kind of sucks the fun out of it. So, contact us anytime. At janesays@civicmedia.us. We have some breaking news as we were coming on the air this morning. And when I was driving and listening to you and Pat, and you were talking, or it was Dan Schaefer, somebody talking about, hey, we have a lull in the elections.
Yeah, who doesn't want a little time off from having an election almost every single season?
That was a nice morning.
Oh, my God.
Because the news as we come on the air this morning from Allison Duren, Molly Beck, and the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. The headline reads, Liberal Chris Taylor will challenge conservative Wisconsin Supreme Court Justice Rebecca Bradley in 2026. The 57-year-old former Democratic state lawmaker announced her plans that she will run for the high court today. She says that over her 30-year legal career as an attorney, a lawmaker, and a judge, she has worked to make sure, quote, the law is used to protect Wisconsinites, their rights, and their freedoms, unquote.
Wait, he said that or she? She said that.
Chris Taylor is a woman.
Oh, I'm sorry. My apologies. I read Chris. It was C-H-R-I-S. I was doing so much stuff. My assumptions
were incorrect.
I'm terrible.
Rebecca Bradley, 53, has announced she will be seeking another 10-year term on the courts. This after the April election, of course, where Dane County Judge Susan Crawford handily.
Just like Justice Protasiewicz did as well.
One over Brad Schimmel. What a shame. And then gave liberal control of the Wisconsin Supreme Court until at least 2028. Liberal candidates have won 4 of the last 5 Supreme Court elections, each of those by double digits.
And as Tony put on the live stream, isn't everyone liberal compared to Judge Bradley? Because Judge Bradley, I'll try to find and put in the show notes, but if you can, just find out what she had to say the night of the election in April.
She was so gracious.
It was gracious. It was so professional. Yes. It definitely didn't sound like a spoiled child who hasn't gotten their toy yet. And I sat there with my mouth agape going, are you serious? Honestly, if you haven't, it sounded like Daniel Kelly's concession speech.
Non-concession speech?
Yeah. We are all in danger of Justice Protasiewicz. Yeah, I said this to you before the show, Jane. Yes, we are living in very divided times, and there seems to be a large group of people who hook onto this very vitriolic, very... Nastier the better. Just say a bunch of mean words and, oh my gosh, they're lining up to give you money. But in the last 2 Wisconsin Supreme Court elections, both candidates going against... I mean, Daniel Kelly was, I think, more full-throated in his conservatism, but Brad Schimmel is a conservative. Both elections were decided by at least a double-digit win margin, which says to me that in the sense of these types of elections, Wisconsinites kind of do things differently. You cannot – we said this as well. You can't convince me that in a 10 to 11-point victory between Justice Protasiewicz and Justice Crawford – or Justice-elect, I should say, Crawford – that some Republicans weren't voting for them because it was a landslide for them. It was decided quickly. The announcements came in before the half hour mark on both.
Yeah.
So to me, I think if Justice Bradley wants to make headway with the people of Wisconsin, I mean, she'll probably get money from outside sources.
Absolutely.
But if she wants to make headway with Wisconsinites, I think she needs to dial back that rhetoric just a little bit. She can be conservative, be law and order, do all the things they do. But I don't think that version of her from that night is going to play well with the people.
That's an interesting take.
Yeah,
it is, because I look at someone like Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Yeah.
Who's pretty popular, at least in her district, because they just convinced her not to run for governor in Georgia.
I think she would be.
Because they think she would get crushed. So maybe you have a point. It's like, we'll accept that kind of behavior to a certain level.
Mm hmm.
And after that, it's like, we need someone who's a little bit not quite so.
Exactly. That is a technical term. Yeah.
855-752-4842. If you would like to join us. Again, breaking news as we came on the air this morning, Rebecca Bradley now has her first challenger for the spot on the Wisconsin Supreme Court, Liberal State Appeals Court Judge Chris Taylor, launching her bid to unseat her. Taylor is 57, a former Democratic state lawmaker, and she has had a 30-year legal career.
Hmm. And that's going to be less than a year away now.
Oh, I would bet that the ads, well, of course, again, it depends upon How quickly do you want to start spending the money that people are sending you?
Because Susan Crawford did not start really spending commercial money until, I would say,
it seemed like 3 weeks.
I mean, it was to the point where we were talking about, like, if she wants to win, she needs to be places. And I mean, whomever was in her campaign, kudos, because they did it right, because she came out big. She was on our show, and pretty much after she was on our show and on other civic media shows and doing other interviews, the bombardment started to happen. I saw
all the
way
ads.
More yard signs. I saw tons of ads. Some would say too many. But yeah, it was, I think there's something to be said about that versus what Brad Schimmel did, which, even though he was running for 18 months, he
yes,
really did.
He was.
He pretty much announced after Justice Protasiewicz won that he was going to be running for the office. And he ran around Wisconsin, did his thing, but I don't. Didn't help him, I guess. It didn't, because it lost. But yeah, I it'll be interesting to see when this starts ramping up and who gets out there first.
Well, the election will be next April.
Grand.
I know. It's just, I'm sorry, folks, but this is what we're in for. This is what happens in Wisconsin. Also announcing this morning from the Wisconsin Examiner, Eric Dunn. The headline says, in Wisconsin's first congressional district.
Who?
Iron Stash Randy Bryce decides to seek a rematch in 2026.
Well, it's a rematch in as much as Heath. Okay. All right, Democrats.
Bryce announcing today he will seek the nomination to run against Republican incumbent Brian Stile in 2026. Bryce says he expects the top issues to be preserving Social Security, resisting Donald Trump's tariffs, and attacks on immigrants, and pushing back against the general climate of fear under Republicans. His first campaign did not go so well.
No, it didn't, because he ran on the platform of, I want to beat Paul Ryan. And then when Paul Ryan said, I'm not running, his campaign went out. Because everyone wanted, that was the thing, is that's the biggest rule. Don't run to beat someone. Run to win. And he was running to beat Paul Ryan. And when Paul Ryan said, I'm not going to get reelection, I'm taking off, his campaign deflated. I was at his quote unquote victory party that night. It was dour.
Oh, at Randy Bryce's?
Yes.
Oh, I bet.
And I just don't think he is. And also just, it's a rematch sort of, but the big thing was, like, he wasn't running. He was running against Brian Stile, but the mode wasn't Brian Stile. He just happened to be the guy. And so I just, Democrats and liberals, you could do better than this, in my opinion.
Well, and weren't there some things about his past and child support and those things that came up that were problematic for Randy Bryce? I might be speaking out of turn. We'll double check on that. But I just remember he had a lot of support. I think he was, you know, again, the iron worker, the union guy, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But again, he lost pretty handily to Brian Stile.
He did. And he got nationwide recognition. I remember when Sarah Silverman had a TV show on Hulu, he was on the show. Like, he was getting nationwide because he's hardworking, the iron stash union. Like, you can't deny his bona fides when it comes to a blue collar Wisconsin life. And I'm not denying that. And I'm not saying he's not a good guy. I'm just saying he wasn't the right candidate at the time because they pushed him in the wrong way. I think that if he wants to run again, fine, but he has to bring it two times harder now. And Brian Stile is not stupid.
No,
he's a good campaigner. He's been in that position for a while for a reason. And
he learned well from Paul Ryan.
Yes, the first CD here in Wisconsin has, for some reason, even though it's purplish blue, has always gone red for that seat. Or not always, but recently, for a long time, I guess now. But it's just that notion, if you really want to win that, I'm sorry, I don't think he's, and prove me wrong.
Well, and maybe someone else will step up. You know, we're still a ways away from this.
Yeah, this is like a year and a half away.
Yeah, we got time on this. Yeah. Tony, on the live stream, we were talking about, when do you start spending money as a candidate? You don't start spending until you can keep it going through Election Day, which makes sense.
Yeah.
And Cassandra, also, it's almost like the way they only campaign for a month in the UK is a good idea. Cassandra, I'm telling you, my husband talks about that all the time. My husband is English. He does not understand why we have campaign season for 7.5 months or longer.
None of us understand it.
Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
The Trump administration has announced tariffs on trade with other countries. While there has been a lot of uncertainty as to how these policies will evolve, it's generally agreed that tariffs can be inflationary, and they have also sparked volatility in the financial markets. How should you respond to tariffs as an investor? Try to build and maintain a diversified portfolio. Tariffs will likely hit some industries harder than others, so consider spreading your dollars among an array of stocks, bonds, and other securities. Diversification cannot guarantee a profit or protect against a loss, but at any given time, some asset classes may be up or not hit as hard as others. Finally, follow a long-term strategy based on your risk tolerance, time horizon, and financial goals. You'll be better equipped to cope with market gyrations that can result from tariffs or from any other event.
This content was provided by Edward Jones for use by Clay Kanoki, your Wisconsin Rapids Edward Jones financial advisor at 715-421-0958.
A game without a crowd is just a scrimmage. A performance without an audience is just a rehearsal. Without your presence, high school sports and the performing arts aren't possible. Ensure that these essential extracurricular activities continue to enrich the lives of students in Wisconsin. Purchase a ticket to your local high school's game or performance.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
From newspaper to radio to magazine to podcast, the way we get our information has grown, and now so has Midday Magazine. Our longtime beloved show has grown to become the Rapids Report. Now exclusively available online, listen at 4 p.m. Monday through Friday, where it's streaming at WFHR.com. Catch up on previous episodes and spread the word. Midday Magazine is now the Rapids Report, streaming weekdays at 4 at WFHR.com and wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you for listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Now join us anytime by finding and following our Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram pages. We want to hear from you there, too. You'll also find social media links for your favorite shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Mock, Sweet Galby on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, where you can join us. Call or text, the number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Hey, we have your baseball tickets all summer long.
Mine?
Not yours.
Oh.
Sorry about that. Your baseball tickets. We've got four packs of Brewers tickets we are giving away every single Friday through the summer. It's our statewide text to win contest. So here's what happens on Fridays during Mornings with Pat Kreitlow from 6 to 9. Pat has a keyword for you to text in via the Civic Media app.
Only via the Civic Media app.
That's the only way you can enter. And then we'll have a word for you from 9 to 11, Tom Hartman 11 to 2, Todd Alba 2 to 4, Maggie Dawn from 4 to 6. This Friday, all of us will have a different keyword for you to text in. And then when you do that, you are in the running for a four-pack of tickets to see the great Milwaukee Brewers. Nice seats.
Club-level seats, cushy seats. Private entrance, if you will. It's up in the suites area, so it's carpeted, quiet.
It is. It's beautiful. Really, they're really nice. We went to a game last year.
They're wonderful seats, and you can enter every single time. So you want to enter on our show, enter on Pat's show, enter throughout the day, and just build those entries up. And if you win too, take some pictures.
We'd love to see it.
We'd love to see you at the game.
Absolutely. All you may have to do, again, is make sure you download the Civic Media app. Mm-hmm. It's completely free. Go to wherever you get your apps. Look for Civic, C-I-V-I-C, Civic Media. Download the Civic Media app. And then, too, you can listen to any show across the state. You can take us with you wherever you go. Mm-hmm. I like to listen now when I work out in the yard and I'm working on the flowers and stuff. Yeah. I have, you know, Todd's show on or Maggie's show on.
I was listening yesterday while I was mowing the lawn.
Very nice. Yeah. Download the Civic Media app. It's worth it. Mm-hmm. And it's free. This is not necessarily good news, especially if you wanted to buy a home.
Yeah.
This from NBC News, mortgage rates cross back over 7% after U.S. credit downgrade. This happened on Friday. Moody's downgraded our credit rating. America's credit rating.
Yeah. not mine.
Not Greg and mine.
My credit rating is actually pretty good. Okay. So America, if you need a loan.
But yeah, Moody's downgraded America's credit rating. And now mortgage rates are back up over 7%. This from NBC News. Home builders also seeing a steep drop in demand last month, with sentiment among that group at the lowest since the end of 2023. The average rate on the popular 30-year fixed loan is 7.04%, the highest since April 11th. Matthew Graham is COO at Mortgage News Daily. He says the average mortgage lender had to account not only for the market movement in Friday's closing minutes, but also to the additional weakness seen this morning. That makes for a fairly big jump day over day. Little to change the bigger picture. April surge in mortgage rates had a direct effect on the housing market, causing it to pull back right in the heart of the usually busy spring season. This is a big time when a lot of folks trying to sell their houses. Yeah. Summertime's coming up. You want to get into the new house and get set up before school starts in fall. It's tough if you're trying to buy a house.
It wasn't easy before. It wasn't easy when when we bought our house. It was,
what was the mortgage rate?
I'll tell you what ours is right now. It's 5.3, and that's after we paid to have it lowered by 0.03%.
Wow.
I didn't know you could do that. And to me, that also just tells me that interest rates are a sham. They're just whatever. If I can buy a portion of it down, then to me, that's but mortgage rates or interest rates being 5 were even seen by some and by us like, oh, that's a lot of money. Not to mention on top of that we were in such a battleground of real estate where it's
and competition.
Do you want to buy a house? Cool. Do you have 50 grand in cash on you as well to outbid the 5 other people who are trying?
Doesn't everyone just have 50 grand in cash laying around?
You know, I mean, I'll find it somewhere. I'll sell a kidney or two or maybe. It was never easy. It hasn't been easy for years, and this just makes it worse. Not to mention the bigger picture is that we have lost our perfect credit rating. And do not tell me it's because of Joe Biden's stock market.
No,
this is not because of the former president. This is because of the less than 5 month. No. Yeah. Tomorrow. 5 month mess we are in. No.
Yeah.
Four month. I'm waiting to be like, well, this is because of Joe Biden did X, Y, and Z. No, it's not.
Well, former President Biden, you know, now he has stage 9 cancer. There is no stage 9, by the way. Donald Trump said that yesterday. We know that former President Biden has cancer.
An aggressive
form of prostate cancer. Mm-hmm. And current President Trump said yesterday, yeah, he's got stage 9. There is no stage 9, which is good.
It's great. It's
stage
great.
4 is still not good.
Yeah, I don't. I've.
Well, and what this is going to do, too, unfortunately, we don't have enough housing for people who want to buy them. And this is going to make it even more difficult for home builders, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then we have tariffs against Canada and we get a lot of lumber from Canada. So it just seems like this is not a good cycle if you're trying to get into the housing market.
It almost seems, Jane, as if it's a system that's not built for the middle and working class to hook onto that American dream and do exactly what we've been told for decades, which is have a family, buy a house, have kids. It's like it's almost being rigged against us.
It's good if you're a venture capital group, though. You can buy lots of houses.
I'll buy 10 of them.
We have news coming up next, and then Pat Kreitlow will be with us from Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Stay close. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. This is your local civic media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
CBS News Brief. It was a 55-mile-long tornado that ripped through southeastern Kentucky last week, and other places are in the middle of severe weather tonight, including Kentucky. CBS News meteorologist David Parkinson.
The risk is certainly there to see damaging wind, hail the size of baseballs, and a couple of EF2 or EF3 tornadoes.
A fifth inmate has been caught of the 10 who broke out of a New Orleans jail last week. Louisiana Attorney General Liz Merle says a maintenance worker has been arrested for allegedly helping them get out.
Still are conducting a very thorough investigation of the staff. We will also look at broader conditions at the facility.
President Trump met with House Republicans as leaders try to push a massive budget package that could get voted on tomorrow. He was asked if Medicaid will be cut.
We're not touching anything. All I want is one thing, three words. We don't want any waste, fraud, or abuse. Very simple.
CBS News Brief. I'm Matt Piper.
The Brewers with another win. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball. For the first time in 2 weeks, the Brewers with back-to-back wins. They beat the Orioles last night 5-4. William Contreras said he thought he just had an okay game, going 4-for-4, including the winning RBI. Pat Murphy.
William has very high expectations. No, he wasn't just good. He was great.
Game two of the series tonight. NFL, the Packers signed Matthew Golden to a four-year, $17.5 million contract guaranteed. Golden says he can now afford to buy back his grandmother's house in Texas, foreclosed a few years ago.
That's the house I grew up in when I was younger. You know, it got taken away from us a couple of years ago. You know, just knowing that I'm in a position to be able to get that back for all my family. You know, that's something my grandma always wanted. Before my great-grandma died, you know, she always wanted one of her grandsons to make it to the NFL. You know, I'm the last one standing in, and I made it.
That's Packers rookie receiver Matthew Golden. With Sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. If you're looking for a movie to watch, here's a Pete pick. As I might have mentioned, Mission Impossible, The Final Reckoning opens this weekend, so I thought I would give Dead Reckoning a rewatch, sort of a cinema stretch out before the big release. It's as good as I remembered it from 2 years ago. Cruise does battle with an AI-formed weapon called the Entity that can take on different forms. Isai Morales, Rebecca Ferguson, Haley Atwell, Simon Pegg, and Ving Rhames round out a great cast. Definitely worth a look before you head to the theater for The Final Reckoning. Singer Jessica Simpson ended her 15-year TV hiatus by performing, if not necessarily singing, on American Idol. The reviews were mostly negative, especially on social media, where everyone's a critic. Simpson belted out Nancy Sinatra's These Boots Are Made for Walkin' with Josh King on the season 23 finale Sunday night and sang her new song, Blame Me, and they did. Simpson's performance was uninspired and looked unrehearsed, but at least she tried way too hard. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloudy sky tonight, areas of rain and lows falling down to the low 40s. For tomorrow, more clouds, showers gradually diminishing but staying breezy, high mid-50s. Sunshine returns for Thursday and Friday and warmer, highs low 60s. Currently, it's 44 degrees.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Richard Trent, the executive director of Main Street Alliance.
This current tax code that they're trying to extend, 80%+ of the benefit goes to the top 1% of earners.
Yes.
I did not misspeak there. This is not a game. Trump will tell you firsthand that he grew up believing there are winners and there are losers. This is an administration actively trying to create a class of losers, and we have to fight back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Teachers are dynamic leaders shaping a new generation. They bring a variety of perspectives from diverse backgrounds, innovating how they teach to prepare students for our fast-changing world. They're skilled experts discovering a universe of solutions, telling stories, inspiring, mentoring, connecting cultures, leading by example. Teaching is a journey that shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
Maggie Dawn.
Did you know that the point of the Doge layoffs was literally to cause federal employees trauma? The truth comes out. We discuss next at 4 o'clock.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinee on Air. Jane Matinee, Greg Bach, the Board Lord, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter, fresh from his travels overseas. Just got back last night, did a show this morning. Joining us right now, he is a trooper and the king of yacht rock. Pat Kreitlow is here. Good morning. Welcome home. How are you?
Oh, thank you. It's nice to be home, but what a wonderful trip to Portugal where some friends got married. One of the groom, I've known the bride a lot longer from my TV days,
yep.
But she married this wonderful man who the one flaw that she finds in him, I would disagree, it's a flaw, is he is as crazy for yacht rock as anybody you would ever want to meet. So I already knew this was the right guy for
her. That's not a flaw.
That's not a boy. There could be. No. There are many, many worse flaws than that.
Oh, don't I know it? But anyway, no, wonderful trip. Great to be back. And I want to really thank Greg again for all the work to help with fill-ins, keep the train running, and putting up with a host who maybe showed this morning why you wouldn't necessarily do a show a day after a transatlantic flight. But I figure I liken it to those shows where the host purposefully has a certain number of alcoholic drinks only to prove why you shouldn't drink and drive.
Yes.
That
yes,
maybe
we've done those.
Maybe jet lag has that same kind of experience on a person.
Yes. I'm just waiting for Pat to be like, so there I was.
Yeah, he's going to have 10 o'clock this morning, 10:06, Pat's going to be in bed.
I did have somebody ask about a 3 o'clock meeting today. I said, nope, I can do 12.
Yeah, no.
After that, there's no guarantees.
It's nappy time for Pat. Though I was listening on the way in, as I always do, Pat, and you were talking about just some of the experiences you had in Portugal, and my husband and I have been there a number of times, and we're big fans of that country. But you went to Nazaré, which, yes. If anyone has watched the 100-foot wave, that is the place where extreme surfers go.
Wait, is that a TV show or is that just a thing?
It's a series now on Netflix, I believe.
Okay, all right.
But if you just search Google for 100-foot wave, they have extreme surfers come in like October, November, and December into this tiny little fishing village that was really not prepared for what it has become.
No, it's such a tiny village with extremely narrow cobblestone streets.
Yep.
And yes, talking to one of the locals about, what a beautiful place this is, beautiful beach, beautiful little town. And they said, yeah, we've always been here. The waves, they've always been here.
Yeah.
Somebody just figured it out. Like, they have these big waves here. And they are still trying to come to grips with all of these people who are showing up.
Yeah, you kind of feel for him on the one hand, because again, like you said, that fishing village has been there forever. The waves have been there forever, but it was only within the last 15, 20 years that it's really landed on a lot of, again, these super extreme surfers have found incredible conditions. And it's very, very dangerous. If you're not a professional, don't even think about it.
No, and it is beautiful. They're in that slow time of the season where the waves aren't 100 feet tall.
Right.
Still very impressive. Still very terrifying, actually, come to think about it. But there is just so much to love about that country. And, Portugal was not necessarily on our list. I mean, Europe overall was. But now Portugal specifically, we went to like half a dozen places throughout the country. And if for folks listening, if you get a chance, go. Just go.
Travel is just, I just think it's good for you. I just think it's good for you. Even if all you do is cross state lines, I think meeting different people, eating different foods, getting different perspectives, I think it's really good for us.
Jim in Brookfield put this on our text line, and I didn't have time for it during the show, where he said, good morning, Pat. Glad to have you back on the air. As Mark Twain said, travel is fatal to prejudice, bigotry, and narrow-mindedness.
Yep. Yes.
And he said, driving overseas on a road using the metric system confirms Twain's quote. Jim from Brookfield. Yes, APU. Again, we talked about that this morning, about what, why are we still living out this Nate Bargatze skit from SNL still using feet and ounces and pounds when there was a better system all along? But I could go on and on.
That's a side note.
It feels like I did this morning, yes.
That's a side note. Speaking of that Nate Bargatze SNL hit, I think we should put that in the show notes just because it is so funny. If you need to just take a breath like we do with Audio Sorbet or at some point during the day, check out that clip from Saturday Night Live. Mm-hmm. Nate Bargatze as George Washington. It is priceless. It's just priceless.
People, I mean, it's one of their biggest, best sketches of recent years. It's got 22 million views.
Yeah, it's great.
And they know about it over there. They cited it at one point when we were having some kind of discussion. They said, oh yeah, why are you still living like that skit that Nate Bargatze? We just laughed like, oh, hey, they've heard about it over here. Of course.
We don't have muskets anymore. We have machine guns now.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Oh yeah, that's really funny. Well, anyway, welcome back. Glad to have you back. We thought we would update you on a couple of things that were happening while you were away, just to get you kind of back up to speed. Of course, Republicans trying to pass Donald Trump's big, beautiful bill.
It's the biggest bill. It's the most beautiful,
among the bills that we've had. Donald Trump was on Capitol Hill this morning trying to convince some Republicans to vote in favor of this. Here's what the President of the United States said this morning, quote, "We're going to make a couple of tweaks. I mean, we don't want to benefit Democrat governors, although I would do that if it made it better, but they don't know what they're doing. We want to help all the states, but we have governors that are from the Democrat Party who have done a horrible job. We want to benefit Republicans. They are the ones that are going to make America great again," unquote. So if you're in a Democratic state, and even if you voted for him, you're out of luck, I guess.
We have a Democratic governor and a Republican
passport. We're leaving again. Get the passports ready.
Yikes. What have we ever had a president before who's come out and said, "I'm only going to help the states that have Republicans"? Gunners.
Yes, we did actually have somebody like that once. It was during the pandemic. It was a guy named Donald Trump.
Oh, yeah.
Who said he only wanted to help the states. You know, the states with blue governors and blue states didn't need help with the pandemic. Yeah, we had that guy once, and we got rid of him. And somebody let him back in. I mean, again, the thing with the Roche Motel is you got to renew it from time to time. Otherwise, it doesn't work so much. And somebody dropped the ball and the roaches are back in the house.
And this is just a thing that I just don't understand. When did it become those Democrat governors?
Oh, this has been been in the works for a while.
Why is Democrat supposed to be like a
A cut. Say, it's a an cut. Insult.
Yeah. Why is it an insult by calling like the Democrat judges? Okay, whatever.
Well, for the same reason that Trump talked about President Biden's stage 9 cancer, because they can't. They know it needles. Well, we're going to needle them by calling them the Democrat Party and stage 9. And look how much they get upset about it. We get upset about it because we don't like when people are wrong or when people lie or when people are mean. And if that gets under your skin, if you like watching that get under other people's skin, what does that say about you that this is what you're rooting for? You're rooting against some of your fellow Americans just so that you can, what, say your team won? Let me make this point about rooting for a team. There are people who go, you've seen them, Jane, they get so wound up when the Packers lose. So wound up. I mean, like almost violent when the team loses. And you want to say to them, and I have said to some friends, guys, they don't care. They're millionaire athletes. They don't care. And the same goes for these ones in Washington. They don't care that you're rooting for them or not root. They're, you know, they love having you as a fan because it keeps them famous and in power.
Yep. Mm.
But they don't care. Stop investing so much about winning on behalf of a team that does not know you.
And isn't looking out for you either.
And isn't looking out for you.
Hans mentioned that this morning when you had him on the show. He's saying there's so many people out there who are the blue collar working class of America who put themselves, and I'll quote him, in the same bucket as those millionaires and billionaires. And they think that if they win, I'm going to win. And that's not true. It's never been true. When people are trying to snake the system, cut billions, if not trillions, in programs that usually help the people, not military spending or taxing the rich, that money usually goes right back to the rich. It doesn't. It's not a, hey, everybody, here's a wonderful tax break for everyone. No, it's a, my rich friends who got me here are going to get even richer now. That's how it works. It's never about us. It's about them.
Well, we've heard about trickle-down since the 80s. Trickle-down economics. That we're still waiting for the great benefits from the trickle-down economy, which, I'm still personally waiting for. Maybe I'm just bad with money.
Well, but Hans made a good point in an earlier visit with him about how part of the reason, now in this case, it's farmers. And again, I want to warn people, don't paint farmers with a broad brush. They didn't all vote for Trump. But, you know, many farmers who did said, well, yeah, there was this trade war with China the last time he was in office, but he sent us these checks. And so they feel like, oh, I made money off of Trump, when actually they lost money. Actually, we lost a lot more in trade than those subsidy checks that Trump sent out. And their feeling this time, Trump and the Republicans, is once again, if we can figure out what is the least amount of tax cut possible to give to the middle class, to farmers, to others, to make them think that this big, beautiful bill is a good idea, that it works for them. If they can come up with just enough, people will go, well, I got my tax cut check, so I'm okay.
Yep.
Completely forgetting that 2 years, 3 years, 5 years down the line, your taxes actually went up. And that's how they wrote the bill. They wrote just enough of a cut in the first year or two to fool you. Let that happen again.
That's so important, Pat, because I think most of us have forgotten about that. The tax cuts that he instituted in 2017, the big tax cuts for the ultra wealthy were made permanent. The tax cuts for the rest of us were temporary and only lasted for 2 years. So if you have paid when you've done your income taxes, we've paid in the last couple of years where we had never done that for many years. You can thank Donald Trump or the Republican Party for that.
But they timed it out in a way that they go, oh, you see, it's Joe Biden's fault.
Yeah. Exactly.
No, it's how the bill was written originally. Yes. And don't let them get away with it again.
It's always Joe Biden's fault, no matter what it is. It's always, as the stock market, Joe Biden's fault.
Well, we started calling him while you were gone. We started calling them the Dog Ate My Homework Administration, because they got excuses for everything as far as how nothing is ever their fault. Or it's the five-year-old. He did it.
Yeah.
He did it.
I like that one better.
He's pointed something else.
Yeah. I love that. It's like, well, why is the FAA in a shambles? It's Pete Buttigieg's fault. It's his fault.
He rides a bicycle, apparently.
Yeah. Mm. He's married to a man. It's his fault.
And people have pointed out, you know, Sean Duffy and others voted against this stuff in 2019, but you got to say it more than once. Otherwise, people will forget, because they're going to blame it on Biden 100 times. You know, don't take your eye off the ball.
Exactly. And that's one of the reasons why we're here, to remind you of those little tidbits that some people would really rather that we forget. Yes. Speaking of tidbits, we have a tidbit from Wisconsin Senior Senator Ron Johnson about Medicaid.
He's got concerns.
He has thoughts. We'll share those on the other side. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is The Vast. Statewide, countrywide. Take us global on the app, baby. Civic Media Radio Network.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Barrio. Senator Tammy Baldwin presses EPA head Lee Zeldin on Great Lakes funding at a hearing on Capitol Hill. The exchange came just 1 week after Clean Wisconsin, the Healing Our Waters Coalition, and Alliance for the Great Lakes met with Baldwin to stress the importance of fully funding the Great Lakes Restoration Initiative. Zeldin ended up going on record saying the protections would be funded. Wisconsin's muskie season is here. Northern muskie season opens May 24th and runs through the end of the year. This is the 70th anniversary of the muskellunge being proclaimed our official state fish back in 1955. The biggest muskie ever caught was in 1949 near Hayward, weighing in at more than 69 pounds. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Beth, host of The Kitchen's Open. Have you ever found yourself asking,
what's a good recipe for cookies my kids will love?
How do I avoid giving my guests food poisoning?
How would a restaurant chef prepare this meal?
If so, then tune into The Kitchen's Open, the show within the morning show each Monday morning at the start of the 10 o'clock hour. I'll tackle topics, teach techniques, or tell you what to do or not to do when it comes to cooking or the kitchen. I'll also bring you interviews with local chefs and restaurant owners. The Kitchen's Open. We'll tell you something good.
You can't escape a traffic jam. Know what else you can't escape? Seasonal allergies. And you might think you can avoid that coffee stain until... Oh, really? You can't escape a lot of things in life. But you can escape prediabetes. Prediabetes captures 1 in 3 adults. There are usually no signs of prediabetes. In fact, most people don't even know they have it. But with early diagnosis, you can change the outcome and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. Take action by taking the 1-minute risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org. You might not be able to escape having this song stuck in your head, but you can escape prediabetes. Go to doihaveprediabetes.org today. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning and welcome back to Matinee on Air. Jane Matinee, Greg Bach, Calvitini on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. No matter where you are listening across the state, Oshkosh, here in Racine, perhaps in Hayward, on WBZH, Butternut.
Butternut.
Near Park Falls.
Ooh.
You can always call us or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We are joined by the host of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Pat Kreitlow is here just talking about some of the things that you might have missed, Pat, while you were overseas vacationing.
Let's missed in quotes first, though, okay? Things I might have missed.
Missed, exactly. Yeah, missed. Wisconsin Senior Senator Ron Johnson.
Oh, did miss. Anyway.
Talking about the big, beautiful bill that President Trump wants to pass. But, of course, there's cuts to one big program, even though I'm pretty sure they were told, we will never touch Medicaid. We will never touch Medicare. We'll never touch Social Security. Well, maybe this time. Calvin, let's play that clip from Wisconsin's senior senator, please.
If you really look at it, look at the numbers, and I look at the numbers, we will actually increase the deficit over the next 10 years, going from right now $37 trillion in debt. CBO says we'll be at 59. My guess is we'd probably increase that by about $4 trillion with the big new deal, or the big, beautiful bill.
Get it right.
That puts us at $62 to $63 trillion. Again, you have to be honest. And by the way, I know Buck at the end of the show, or I think he might have asked me this last time, well, what are you going to cut? It's impossible to say, you know, Medicaid absolutely have to go after that. But what you need is a process.
Medicaid, absolutely, you got to go after that. And I will say this. Ron Johnson is the only one who is actually admitting that this is going to tack on trillions to the deficit. Because it is.
Right. And he is concerned, again, in quotes, about the deficit and the national debt. And yet, he didn't appear to be that concerned in 2017.
No.
When it was made clear that that tax plan would add at least $2 trillion to the national debt. And they said, oh, that's okay. It'll pay for themselves because, you know, trickle down always pays for itself.
Yeah.
It did not. Then there was concern about the debt and the deficit when Joe Biden was in office.
Mm-hmm.
And now a little less so again because we keep hearing, oh, it's going to pay for itself. Except a few people like Ron Johnson who are saying, well, I might actually be against this if it raises the national debt too much. Don't believe it. All he's doing is what he did in 2017, which is look for concessions like the last time around when Ron Johnson was a holdout until he got a particular type of tax break for something called pass-through corporations that benefited him personally and benefited some of his, you know, billionaire campaign donors. So if he's setting the stage for that, that's fully in character with what he's been doing. But let me, if I can, one other note on this national debt being $36 trillion, it'll go to $59 trillion. And people say, well, that's just unsustainable. The reason it hasn't been unsustainable is because if there's one thing the rest of the global economy wants, it's American dollars and American treasuries and American bonds. They want in on the action of a stable, secure, democratic, with a small d, economy. But for what they're doing to get rid of our, you know, to trash our credit rating, as you were talking about earlier, and this trade war and everything else, if all of that tarnishes faith in the U.S. economy, then that deficit and that national debt, then it will really matter because we're no longer the one safe place where the rest of the world knows they can put their money in troubled times.
Well, and that's one of the reasons why Trump reversed himself when the bond market started having big, big twitches. All of a sudden, that's when he backed off on the tariffs. That was like, oh, well. And he said, people are getting yippy. I think he said, somebody's got the yips. Okay.
Well, and then they said, and then when he backed off and the market recovered, everyone who supported him came out and said, "See, you don't understand. He's playing 4D chess. Right. It's the art of the deal, man."
Yeah.
But something that Ron Johnson made very clear in the words he used, because if you want to look at programs like we've said before, look at wasteful spending, look at consolidations, look at ways we can take down costs. Great. Do studies, talk to experts, hold hearings. Do the process. But he said, you have to go after it. And it's in the sense of Medicaid. Not we have to study Medicaid. We have to look at reductions. We have to look at problems. It's go after it. To me, that seems like they're just going in with Elon's chainsaw to say, you're not getting this money anymore, folks. Sorry if you like Medicaid, but you're not getting it.
Calvin, do we have time to play that clip from Rick Scott, the former governor of Florida? Let's play this clip from Rick Scott, also chiming in on Medicaid. Take a listen.
Of course, one of the sticking points is this business about paying able-bodied 30-year-old men without dependents welfare with no work requirement. Why do some of your colleagues have a problem with that?
It doesn't make sense to me. Number one is if you don't want to work, you're the one that decided you don't want health care.
Right.
That's number one. Number two, Medicaid is supposed to be for children that don't have health care and people with chronic illness. I remember when my brother couldn't get health care. I grew up in public housing. Today, that child might not get it because of what these states are doing. It's they get more money to take care of able-bodied adults.
That's enough, Calvin. I think it's important that people understand that not every employer offers health care. They just don't.
Right. Yep.
No, they don't.
They don't.
So don't tell me. So don't tell me that you don't want a job. You don't have health care because you don't want a job. That doesn't make any sense.
That is the biggest mistake we've made for generations now is linking healthcare access, affordable healthcare access,
to employment.
Yep. It was started during World War II at a time of wage controls and labor shortages. It was the one benefit that was allowed, and we have allowed that to continue to defining whether you get healthcare coverage or not, along with all the other tropes that he and Derek Van Orden loved to talk about how poor they were growing up till they pushed the ladder away and turned their back on the people, you know, from where they came from.
And speaking of Medicare fraud, by the way, Rick Scott, when he handled a company in Florida. They got fined $1.7 billion for Medicare fraud, but let's not talk about that.
No.
Matt Kreitlow, join him. He'll be well rested tomorrow morning starting at 6 a.m. or not. Thanks a lot, we'll Pat. See. Really appreciate it. News coming up next. Keep it here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Progressive Insurance.
I'm Matt Piper. A federal judge has ruled U.S. officials must retain custody and control of migrants apparently removed to South Sudan in case he orders their removals were unlawful. It's after court documents show that up to a dozen people from several countries, including Myanmar and Vietnam, may have been sent to Africa. CBS's Camilo Montoya-Galvez on a new report from the Cato Institute about migrants sent to that El Salvadorian prison.
At least 50 of the Venezuelan men who were deported to El Salvador back in March as part of that secretive operation had entered the U.S. legally. Some came here as refugees or visa holders, and dozens came under a Biden administration process known as CBP-1 that was designed to discourage illegal immigration.
Five down, five to go. That's the wording from officials in Louisiana who say they've now caught a fifth inmate who broke out of